isn't he? Hallelujah. Well, I just want you to know I'll be preaching in Germany on Wednesday. I'm not going to Germany, but I'll be preaching via Zoom. I'm going to be preaching, so that's kind of exciting. Hallelujah. Isn't technology incredible? It's amazing. Even the internet, we're here in, you know, Port Orchard, Washington, but people are watching all over the country, and they're watching in Uganda. Mark tunes in every once in a while from Germany. It's just really awesome. Hallelujah. God is good. I want to talk to you this morning about the old versus the new. I said the old versus the new. Sometimes the old and the new get blurred together. But God wants us to get out of that. So if you'll turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read quite a few verses out of Colossians and then we'll take up from there. How many love the Word of God? How many really love the Word of God? Did you know that Jesus gave you an indicator of whether you really love Him or not? Let me say that again. Jesus gave an indicator to see whether you really loved Him or not. He said, if you love Me, you'll follow My commands. I love Jesus. I love not if you're not doing what He's told you to do. Right? Well, you know, say amen or oh me, it's true anyway, right? Glory to God. Now watch this. We're going to read starting verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you shall also appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived with them in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called, in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Did you know that this letter to the Colossians was written by the Apostle Paul to a church that was established? But it was a church that needed to hear what God required. It needed to hear what something looked like. He wanted everybody to walk in the newness of their relationship with God. But they had to be aware of certain things. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just, you know, just hear all the time, you're just blessed, you're wonderful, you're doing good. Oh, it doesn't matter what you do because God's just forgiven you anyway. Everything is just fine. Don't worry about the fact that you're, you know, doing something that God told you not. Don't worry about that. If there's ever a place, a church or any ministry that's teaching that, put on your sneakers and run. I said run. Why? Because they're leading people to hell. Did I say that strong enough? They're leading people to hell. And God wants us to walk a different way. Make no mistake. God wants you blessed. Let me say that again. God wants you blessed. And He's given everything to you to ensure your blessing. Right? But we've got to put some things on and then take some things off. Right? We've got to put on the new, but put off the old. When we put up with the old, the newness can't shine through. I want the new. How about you? Right? Now, I want to show you a couple of things because I think there's a misperception of Jesus, honestly, in the church. And especially by the world, who has decided that Jesus loves everybody and that everything everybody does is all right because Jesus loves them. Well, let me tell you again just what He preached. Go with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Hallelujah. In Mark chapter 1, and this is the story of, you know, His birth and all of that. And in verse 14, it said, now after John was put into prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel is good news, but it is of the kingdom of God. Now, we don't know that much about kingdoms because we live in a republic, but we've watched enough TV, we've watched enough movies, we've seen and read enough books to know that a king has absolute control over the people. He is sovereign over the land. If the king says jump, you say how high? It's not, well, you know, I don't feel like doing that. In some kingdoms, that would get your head cut off. Right? It's a kingdom of God. It's not a democracy of God. Thank you for your enthusiasm. This will get better. You will enjoy it more. But verse 15 says, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, here I am. I am the kingdom of God. The time for the kingdom of God to be fulfilled is here right now. I'm standing before you. But look at this next word. He says, repent. Everybody say repent. Say it louder. Repent. Did you know that repentance is a good word? The Bible says that it's the goodness of God in Romans that leads us to repentance. Why? Why is it good? Well, you know, repentance doesn't just mean I'm sorry. Repentance means I'm turning from that which I was doing to go a different way. So it means I'm stopping what I was thinking before, stopping what I was saying before, stopping what I was doing before, and go in a different way. But here's what happens with us in the body of Christ, and I'll relate it like this. Have you ever been driving, and especially the old GPS things, you know, those things, you be driving and they say, turn left now, and you don't turn left. And they keep going, and they say, make a U-turn at the next light, you know, and go back to where you were. See, a repentance is like a U-turn. You were going this direction, and God got a hold of you, and He said, now let's make a U-turn, because you're walking away from me, and I want you to walk toward me. But if you're like me, this happened a few times, not many, but I've been in that car and driving along and making that U-turn and trying to find that place, and I drive by it again. At the next corner, make a U-turn. And I have to come back, and finally, I find it. As Christians, we've made a U-turn when we made Jesus the Lord of our lives, and we repented. But we're walking along, and sometimes the world gets into us, or even our own flesh, right? Our feelings start to control us, and we think, I'm going to make a U-turn and start acting like I used to act. I'm going to start doing what I used to do. I'm going to start, and the more that we cooperate with that, the deeper we can get and the further away. Do you know the only cure for that? Repent. Repent and go back to the way that you're supposed to. In the book of Revelation, talking about one of the churches, he said, repent. And do your first works over again. Find your first love again. Go back to your first love again. So what I'm talking about is living in the new instead of allowing the old to take a hold of you. Have you got it? Right? It's easy sometimes to let the old back in because it subtly comes back in. It comes back in with your feelings. Feelings, all my life are feelings. Listen, if that's the case, then you'll never walk in the new. Because you have to be determined to walk in what God tells you to do. In verse 1 of Colossians chapter 3, it said, if then you are risen with Christ, put off the old and bring on the new. And so, well, that was Jesus, but He died for the cross. And so, you know, all of that has been kind of taken away. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 2. And look at verse 38. Then Peter said to this, after he preached a great message, he told them that they crucified their master, they crucified their Savior. It was all their fault. They did it, right? But the conviction of the Holy Spirit was upon them. And what was the response? They said, what must we do to be saved? And in verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that there is true remission of sins without repentance. Ooh, that could get me in trouble. But listen, Jesus has forgiven us, right? And we walk in love, and we're not supposed to walk under condemnation. But I think that there's times when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and wants us to go back into the walking like a new man should walk. And He convicts us of the very things that we're doing. But we respond with, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Bless God, I'm not going to walk it. No. That's not condemnation. That's conviction. And the conviction is the very thing that leads you to change and to turn around. Because He wants us walking in the newness of life. Hallelujah. Back to, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to get back to Colossians so fast, but I've got a few places to go first. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, normally I would probably just go to, you know, We're new creatures in Christ Jesus, but I want to start a little bit earlier than that. And look at verse 15. He said, He died for all. Jesus died for all. That those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Again, Paul's talking to you, talking to me, talking to the church. He said, again, listen to this. He died for all, and those who live should no longer live for themselves. You know, Jesus made some statement, if you want to follow me, you got to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. I don't like denying myself. Let me say that again. My flesh does not like it when I'm required to deny myself. It comes in the form of, I really don't want to do that. But God, you said to do it. So I'm going to do it. I don't really want to get out of bed today and go to this event or to that event. Or I don't want to put this on. It's not convenient for me. I would rather not. You see, you have to die to that. This is going over big. You have to die to that. It's not okay for you to be in your feelings. It's not okay for you to be where it's all about me. It's up to us to get to the place where we deny ourselves and follow Him. And listen, He does require obedience. If you want to walk in the new man, you have to walk like He wants you to walk and not like you want to walk. Because your flesh will take you wherever it wants to go. Your flesh will take you back to the lying, the cheating, the cursing, the drinking, the drugs. It'll take you back to the pornography. It'll take you back to the anger. It'll take you back to the very things that were killing you in the first place. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again because it just shows the subtlety of the flesh connected with the enemy, right? So I'm walking out of the shipyard. I worked in the shipyard for 11 years, and we were working 12-hour days, 7 days a week, and it was in the summertime. And I come out, it was one day, and the sun was coming up, and I worked from 8 at night till 8 in the morning. That was the shift I was on. So I'm, you know, it's about 8:30 or whatever. I'm walking out of the shipyard, and I heard this, and this thought came up to me. When I say I heard, this thought came up to me. It said, you ought to just go over to that tavern and get drunk. And I thought, well, I started laughing. It was so absurd to me. I would never go back to that. I know where I came from. I know what that got me. I know what I was delivered from. I would never go back to that. That was so obvious that it was the enemy. But there are other times where it's not quite so obvious. A little lie won't hurt. A little, you know. And again, I'm not talking necessarily about all alcohol, but there are many people that I've heard their testimonies about. You know, I've been clean and sober for 6 months, 2 years, 10 years, 12 years. One person I heard, 14 years, and the thought came to them, I'll just go have a glass of wine. And what that did is it led them, because they did a U-turn, it led them back to right where they were before. You've got to be careful when you're walking with God about the U-turn your feelings want you to take. You have to deny your feelings and keep walking to where He wants you to go. Does this make sense to anybody? Come on. It speaks to me. It's like, Lord, I've got to guard myself. I've got to guard where I'm going. Hallelujah. Verse 16 says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we now know him no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You see, if anyone is in Christ, he's come to the place where in his heart he's made a determination to deny himself or herself and walk with Christ. And so we have to come to the understanding that I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And yes, that means that all my sins are gone and that I'm no longer on the outside, I'm on the inside. But it's also a position that I must determine to walk in. Again, back in Colossians, it says that you have to put off the old and then put on the new. So if you're walking in the old, what do you need to do? Repent and turn around and go the other way and quit deceiving yourself that a little bit of the old is okay after all. I used to have an anger problem, but it's normal because I'm Irish. Right? And you can put anything in there that you want. We read, and we're not going to read over them again, but the things of the flesh, we read over them, and you can put in anything that you want in there, and you go, well, yeah, but after all, you know, my dad did this, and my grandpa did this, and so there, it's kind of natural for me to... No, that person is dead, and you have to keep them dead. Paul said it this way. He said, I buffet my body and I bring it under subjection to me. He's talking about his spirit man says, listen, body, you don't get to do what you want to do. Body, you don't get to have revenge. Body, you don't get to have, you know, your way. Body, you don't, come on. You have to begin to put on Christ and make him first place, last place, and every place in between. Because we want to walk in the new and not the old. All right, let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God. Who's that? That's me. If Jesus is Lord of your life, that's you. Elect of God. God gave the plan where we could be saved, and it says that everyone who believes can come into that salvation. I got born again, watch this, when I made Jesus the Lord of my life. And I say it this way sometimes because, and I'll explain it. When I got saved. I got saved. Well, what do you mean? Well, you see, I've seen a lot of people get saved, and yet there's no change in them at all. I got saved and my whole life got turned around. I remember the day, the hour, but all of the things that I used to do, I didn't do anymore. Why? Because I made that U-turn. I repented from that because I wanted to do everything that I could to please my Father. Dad, if you want me to do it, I don't care how it makes me look. I don't care how it makes me feel. I don't care anything except that you're pleased. Right? Verse 12 again. Therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, loving kindness, humility, meekness, and long suffering. Again, elect of God, holy and beloved. Did you know when you were made a new creature that you were made to be different? You are holy and beloved. The love of God came into your heart the second that you got saved. But also His holiness came into you. Now I believe this with all of my heart. In all of us have areas that we're working on. None of us have arrived. None of us are perfect. None of us have attained the holiness. We all stumble, right? We all have messed up. But our mess up shouldn't be our goal. It should be in our rearview mirror. Now, I don't mean just it's forgiven, but I've done a U-turn and I'm repented from that and I'm not going to act like that anymore. Right? Because I'm holy and beloved. I've told this story again, but it fits in here. I have the mic. I remember my dad saying to me, I'd done something that was, you know, character that he didn't care for. Let's just put it that way. And he said to me, he said, Bruce, he said, Dugans don't act like that. Dugans don't do that behavior. In other words, you're part of my bloodline. You're part of my family. And we do not act like that. And I don't care what, you know, the Kojals do. I don't care what the Porters do. I don't care what, you know, the people three streets down do. I don't care what Jimmy did. I don't care what Johnny did. I don't care. Dugans do not act like that. I got the message pretty clear, pretty loud, but it put an impression inside of me that his character, my dad's character, became part of my identity. When we take on the new creation in Christ Jesus and we understand that our Father has made us holy and beloved, we need to understand His character and start taking it on and letting that govern our decisions. Are you with me? Right? So that'll put a check on some of your attitudes. Puts it on mine. That'll put a check on some of your desires, like it does me, right? But we have to put that on. I said we have to put that on. Again, he says, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. Put on. What does that mean? I've got to put it on. I'm glad you all got up this morning, put on clothes. Right? We're all grateful for that. But we have to wake up every morning and put on His character. You can't do it on Sunday and then forget it on Monday. You can't put it on Sunday and maybe try on Monday, but by Tuesday, I'm putting something else on today. Every day, every second of the day, we must put on tender mercies. Let me say that again. We must put on tender mercies. Again, look at this. Therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. You know, many people have talked about the fact that yes, my mom and my dad, they take me to church all the time. And I see them act a certain way in church, but it's not that way at home. I'm not putting anybody under condemnation, but if that's you, what do you need to do? Repent. Change it. It's not okay. Well, you don't understand. I'm the man of this house. Bless God, I'll do what I want. And they'll... You're not the man of anything. Jesus is supposed to be the Lord of your home. You're supposed to be the under-shepherd doing what He commands you to do. Hello? What does He tell you to do? Put on tender mercies. We sing about it all the time. Aren't you glad for the mercy of God? Oh, the mercy of God. What does that mean? He doesn't give me what I deserve. He doesn't give me what I deserve. That's the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be kind. 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 When a person cuts you off in traffic, you're supposed to be. But you don't understand. My feelings got around. I got so mad. I got so angry. Well, repent. That's all. Just repent. People ought to say, you know, that house, they're just kind there. They're just kind. Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Humility means I need to take myself out of being the one who is set, central focused in my life, and I have to let God be God and trust Him with me, and that way I can spend my life trying to be used by Him to bless others. Humility means God's Word is right. My word is not. Are you getting me? God's word is right. My word is not. So whatever He says, I'm going to do. Now watch this. This is so cool. Now watch this. This is so awesome. All of the things that I'm telling you, you absolutely have the ability to do. I said, you absolutely have the ability to do. Why? Because the one who gave you the ability is living on the inside of you. He said He called you holy and beloved, and out of that character of the new man, you can do all of this. In fact, it should be what you're known for. But we have to put it on and not allow our flesh to put on the old. Whew, glory to God. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, I highly suggest that you try it. Is that what it says? You know, it'd be a good idea. I know it's going to be tough, and if it's too tough, just put it aside. You know, God will understand. No, He said you must do. How much has Christ forgiven you of? You know, I know you're all angelic, and I see your faces, and they're just awesome, and you know, you'd never do anything wrong, but how much has God forgiven all of us of? I've used this as motivation to forgive others when I didn't want to so many times, and saying, God, how can I hold that against them when you don't hold that against me? Right? Because I've done some things that haven't been right. How can I? I use that as great motivation, and I've got to put that on. When do you have to put that on? All the time, but especially when somebody does something really stupid towards you. Somebody does something very hurtful towards you. Somebody does you wrong. Right? Okay, Lord, I'm putting on your love. I'm putting on your forgiveness. I'm putting on your tender mercy. Again, another story. This just illustrates it so well. And you've heard me tell the story before, but do you remember when the Green River killer was put on trial, Gary Ridgway? Thank God he was caught. But watch this. During the sentencing, after he was found guilty, all of the relatives of the family member, you know, got up to say something before the judge sentenced him. And you could see the torment in people's faces as the vitriol came out of their mouths toward Gary Ridgway. And it was one after another, after another, after another, after another, after another. And then this dude got up, and he had on bib overalls, a bit of a belly, a big beard, white beard, white longer hair. And he said, "Mr. Ridgway, I want to tell you what you did was wrong, and you stole from us. But just as Jesus Christ, my Savior, has forgiven me of everything, I want to tell you in front of the court and in front of the world, I forgive you with the forgiveness of Jesus." You know what you could see in that man's face? Peace. He had a different temperament that came through the camera into my heart, into my viewing, because he walked in the forgiveness. Right? So, A, if you're walking with Christ, forgiveness is not an option. But forgiveness, has been said, is not for them, it's for you. It's a gift to you because that releases you from the chain that holds you back. Right? Peter said to Jesus, now listen up. I've forgiven my brother like seven times. Is that good? Well, that's pretty good. And one day I just forgive him seven times. That's pretty good. He said, no, 70 times seven. Right? Hallelujah. Verse 14. It says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And not your love, his love. There's a word in the Greek, and many, it's agape love, and it's the highest form of love, and many have said it's the God kind of love. That's not really what it means in the Greek, but it pertains to that. The God kind of love loves with no strings attached. With no strings attached. In other words, my love towards you has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with me. Because I choose to do it. You know, you can have unlovely people who don't deserve love, but you can choose to love them through the love of God anyway. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, love believes the best of every person. That's the Amplified Version, but love believes the best of every person. That has changed me so much when looking at people who look unlovely. And the worst person that you can think of, the one that's robbed you, stolen from you, maybe done other things that are terrible in your life, how in the world could I believe the best of them? Because they are one decision away from a U-turn. They're one decision away from being a new creature in Christ Jesus. Right? So I have to believe, come on, that God can get through to them. Again, one story to just illustrate this. The Barnetts are not here, and Walt and Jackie are not here, but you remember the story. Tom, I think, was his name. But Tom was one of they did assisted living homes for years and years and years. And Tom was one of the first that came to live with him. Well, Tom was one of the high officials in the Aryan Nation. If you know what that is, if you don't know what that is, the Aryan Nation was the white supremacy group that was basically full of hatred, but in the name of God, right? That's what they did. But he was high up in the level, I mean, high up in it. He was living with them and he was dying. He was on his way out. And you'd walk into the room, and the room was like 5 to 10 degrees colder in his room than it was in the rest of the house. And he'd say, they're coming for me. I can see them. They're coming through the wall. I can see them. They're coming for me. And finally, Kim was in his room visiting with him and said, Tom, You need to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You need to repent and you need to give Him your heart. He'd been witness to many, 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 many times over the years. But here was this man who was hatred and probably had done some things that were just horrible. But the minute from his heart he gave his life to Jesus on his deathbed, I think he died like 10 days later, the whole atmosphere in the room changed. It went from cold to being warm. It went from being dark to being light. Why? Because he did a U-turn. We've got to believe for a U-turn for everyone that we see that we're not exactly sure. You know, God, how could God get through to them? They're so far gone, you don't know. I've lived with them for 40 years and it's... No, I believe for a U-turn. Right? Because why? God gave me one. God gave me one. Right? Well, I've got to close and I want to get to this part. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. I think it's the Amplified version that says, let the peace of God act as an umpire in your heart. You know what an umpire does? Strike, ball. You're out. Right? The peace of God in your heart. If you're experiencing, you know the peace of God, and that gets upset, you have to look at what's transpiring in your life. And have you taken on the old man again, or are you living out of the new man? And if your thoughts are going to a place that they shouldn't go, as outlined in what we've talked about today, you have to say, thoughts, you're out. Right? Because I'm not going to give up anything for that peace. Now watch this. Because here's part of the key to living and putting on the new man that we must all participate in if we want that peace to rule in our hearts. Look at this. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Live in you. Dwell in you. Be with you 24/7. How do I do that? You have to read the Word. You have to memorize the Word. You have to meditate on the Word. You have to put the Word in your thought. Why? Because that very Word that you put in will be a governor on your heart. What's a governor? I'm a golfer, right? And my son worked at Horseshoe Lake Golf and Country. And what they do is they put governors on the golf cart so they'll only go so fast. But he said, Dad, I've learned the trick. You can put this golf tee right in here and it'll release that governor. And man, these things will zip around. Right? I'm not saying I've ever done that, but it'll zip around, right? The Word of God is supposed to be that governor that keeps us from going back to the old man, to the new man. The Word of God will do that. Hallelujah. I could give you testimony after testimony after testimony. I don't have time this morning of how a person just getting into the Word and making a daily disciplined area in their life has changed them forever. It's brought a crazy mind back to a renewed mind. It's brought people who were in depression out of depression. It's brought light, but you have to let it dwell in your hearts. Just a few more and then we're going to close. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You know what we do when we come together and we worship, we sing songs? It's so powerful. But it's supposed to be for our admonishment. It's supposed to be for our encouragement. It's supposed to be for our corporate expression to God. Right? So when we come in and we begin to worship, the first thing that you should do is forget about everything else. I got this bill, I got this, and that person's being a pain in my butt, and that, and my son's doing this, and my daughter's done that. And it, to the best of your ability, you've got to shut your mind down and just say, Lord, for the next few minutes, I'm just going to worship you. I'm going to get rid of distractions. And some say, well, I'd like to, but there's people talking around me. And well, tell them to shut up. No, I'm so serious. I'm trying to worship. Could you please not talk about what you're talking about? If you want to talk, go out in the foyer or whatever. And then don't worry about the babies, because babies are babies. They're going to do what they're going to do. But don't you be distracted by them. My focus is on Him. I'm worshiping Him. Why? What's that going to do? That's going to bring peace back to your heart. Reading the Word will bring peace back to your heart. It'll allow you to be in that place. See, we have to, if we want to walk in the new, we have to put the new on. How many are tired of the old controlling you? Your old thoughts, your old patterns, your old ways. There's an answer. Repent, turn around, put on the new. Walk in the new. Live in the new. And those old things will pass away. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. I thank you, Lord, that I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have been new, been made new. And Lord, you've made me accepted in the beloved. You've made me loved, God, by you. And I just appreciate that so much. I thank you, Lord, that Jesus took upon my sin upon himself, that I could be actually called the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, help me to put on the new. All of you that are watching online at home, allow God to speak to you. If there's areas in your life, if anger and all of those things have come back up in you, just turn around. Trust Jesus. Begin to walk with Him. He'll make it new. God bless you. Thank you for joining. If Jesus is not Lord of your life, make Him the Lord of your life. Repent and walk with Him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for watching.